What's up, guys? Welcome to the podcast. My name is Salman Ali at Salman Ali NBA on Twitter. Here joined by Forrest Walker at Do Nots on Twitter. How you doing, man?
Not too bad. Struggling with the drivers on the road lately, but what else is new? What else is new out there?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I actually don't mind Austin drivers. It's Austin roads which really screw with my head. Like, there are so many little curves, and, like, if you miss an exit, you are screwed.
Yeah. I was telling someone this the other day that of the Texas cities, I actually think Houston has the best roads, especially as far as the freeway goes.
And Dallas, a lot of people here, too. Yeah.
Dallas is confusing. San Antonio is also weird, and some of the interstate changes are bad. Austin, look, I love the city that I live in, but you're not wrong. The roads here are crazy. Houston has roads that make the most sense. Houston drivers, different story, but...
Okay, as always, if you enjoy the podcast, be sure to like the YouTube video and subscribe to the channel. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, all that good stuff. That all really helps the show grow. All right, Forrest. We started last week with Tari Eason's season-ending injury. Good news. We don't have a season-ending injury to share today. We have two.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Alperen Şengün, grade 3 ankle sprain. Here's the thing. Oof. That one looked worse. Like, if you watched it on TV, I didn't say it, but I thought I was thinking ACL. Like, I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking. Right?
Yeah, I think a lot of us were in the same boat. Yeah, I was watching that game as well, and it looked like he hyperextended his knee. Like, it looked like his knee went, like, a few degrees past where it's supposed to go front-wise.
Right?
Yeah. It buckled. Yeah, and his foot went, like, 90 degrees, but that was not the thing that I, like I cringed when I saw his knee move that way when he fell down and grabbed his knee. I just thought, oh, no, this is horrible. This is, like, this is not only a season-ending injury, this is, like, a cutting-into-next-season injury, if not ending that season, too.
Yeah, but career-altering injury, potentially. Which,
yeah.
We'll get into that. But, like, so, this, like, it was one of those plays where, like, the scream, right? Like, the agony scream, it's like, oh. Like, you just know that it, like, you can tell, whatever it was, you knew he was done for the season. Like, whatever it was. Like, it could have been a grade 1 ankle sprain, and the Rockets were going to play it safe here. Right? I suspect. Just because of how he reacted and how important he is. He's the best prospect on the team, right? Like, it's just, you can't play any games here. I don't anticipate the Rockets are going to try to rush him back. I think there's the possibility that if this were not, like, if this season were significant, right? Like, if the Rockets had a serious chance at doing something this year, that he may try to come back in game 80 or something, right? I don't think that's going to be the case. I think the Rockets are just going to play it safe and just shut him down.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously the right call. I guess they could theoretically make the play-in or something, and maybe they think about something, but I don't know. I can make up, like, theoreticals where you might imagine the possibility of him playing a game before next season, but 99.99% chance we are done. He's not going to play again until, you know, next preseason, which is the right choice.
And we've seen enough, right? We know what Şengün is, right? Like if this happened to Jalen Green, that's right. Like, on top of the season, the up and down season that he had, like, he doesn't get this last stretch to kind of correct it, right? This is like one of those. It's like, okay, we kind of know, right? Yeah. So, like, he's fortunate in that respect. Obviously, you never like to see an injury. It always sucks. Always sucks for the player. But I think
we should say. Specifically, also, he has a bone bruise in the right knee as well, which is a lot less bad than any kind of ligament or, like, cartilage tearing that it could have been. So, this sucks a lot, but everyone breathed a sigh of relief when they saw the diagnosis because it could have been so much worse. So, yeah. I wanted to be clear out there that, like, the injury that it is, not good at all, but, oh. This is not going to have, like, an impact on his career long term. He will be... You know, I don't see why he would not be back at full strength next season unless, like, something else crazy happens in the offseason.
I think it might take him a bit to get going. I'll say that. Because it's going to take a while before he's able to train. And I think he's going to be a high top shoe guy from now on. Like, I'm serious. Like that. When you have that kind of an ankle injury, you don't mess around anymore with the low tops, right? Like that. Like you see it all the time with NBA players. But I mean, he's going to have to be really careful because it's just for some reason ankles are weird in that you twist it once really bad, you sprain it once really bad, and it's just so easy to trigger again. It's kind of like hamstrings in that way. So it could be touch and go for his career. Not as in touch and go for his career, as in the injury is touch and go for his career, right? So I think that's something I would keep an eye on. Obviously, you're right. Really fortunate that it wasn't worse, but I still think it's something that the Rockets training camp should keep, training staff should keep in mind that perhaps we should keep an eye on this in future seasons because you see other players like Steph, for example, dramatically change the course of his career. So you don't want that, and you have so many examples of ways to prevent that. So, yeah.
Well, I hope he comes back and does really well. I don't see any reason why he's not going to be a great player in this league, and it just sucks to not be able to watch him. I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of, it just sucks to not be able to watch him. Cam Whitmore, out for 3 weeks with an MCL injury. This, I'm not going to lie, this one was like truly depressing because I don't know what Cam is, right? Like, I think I know what Cam is, right? But I don't know for sure. And it felt like, much like with Tari Eason, it felt like we were on the verge of him stepping into a bigger role, right? Before this happened.
Yeah.
And, it is what it is. The Rockets are going to, are probably not going to, it says that he'll be reevaluated in 3 weeks, but by that point, there's going to be, 15 games left in the season? Maybe
if that many.
I just don't know. You know, maybe you don't shut him down. Maybe you let him play like the last 5 or 10 games, or maybe like. But I wouldn't rush him. Like I would really take my time here, right?
Yeah, I think they have enough injury situations that they need to start slow playing these things. They're not playing for anything either. Like unless they just win every single game for like another 2 weeks or something. It's not going to matter. They're close to the 10th, but they're not like close to the 10th, if you know what I mean. Like they're like 3.5 games out of 10th. I don't think the Warriors are going to fall off enough for it to really matter. If they're like 4 or 5 games behind the 10th spot, whenever Cam is feeling like he's ready to go, just play it slow. It doesn't matter. You're not going to do anything this year. So health is the most important thing. He needs to be healthy for summer league, and then he needs to be healthy for next season is the important stuff.
Yeah. Can we do a quick autopsy on Cam season? Oh, first, I will say this. I have a slight eyebrow raise because, you know, this is, you know, we did hear about the medicals with Cam in regards to the knee, right? And this is a knee injury, right? I'm not saying that. At all. I'm not at all justifying those general managers for passing on him. Still think they're all stupid, right? Like, the ones that passed on him past pick 5, I think they're all dumb. I genuinely think, like, those guys need to get reevaluated for the positions. I'm not exaggerating. I think it was such a foolish decision to pass on him past a certain point in the draft. But this is an MCL injury, and it's just a slight eyebrow. I'm just noting it. It's just something to note.
Yeah.
Can we do a quick autopsy on his season? Because
he might play a few more games, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. He might play a few more games, but I feel like it's appropriate, right? Like I knew he was good, right? And I had him ranked 5th on my board, but he's somehow better than like any projection I know the analytic models really liked him. I can't imagine they saw him on a per minute basis being this good as a scorer. I can't imagine.
Yeah, I mean, people push back and say, and you know, fairly so, that like playing on a low number of minutes at a high efficiency is not as impressive as playing more minutes on that same efficiency, which is true, right? You can't just extrapolate out his minutes to, you know, like 36 or what have you. Per 36 deceives you a little bit. But, like, even so, his numbers are really good for a rookie.
Yeah, I mean,
he came out here and he plays, as I said it before, he plays like a man. He plays like he's been in the league for a few years. He doesn't look shaken out there. He doesn't look timid. He just goes for it, which is really impressive to me.
No, yeah, he does, right? And, like, I'm going to push back on the per 36-minute thing because I've seen so many players, like, so many GMs find value with players with like that, or with the per 36-minute thing. Like, Paul Millsap, great example of, like, per 36-minute all-star. Goes to a team that actually can play him, like, 30 minutes a night. And guess what? He's an all-star, right? Like, like James Harden, per 36-minute all-star, right? Goes to a team that actually can play him 36 minutes a night and fully took advantage of that fact, right? Superstar, right? Like it's one of those things where sometimes it is kind of predictive. And, like, I kind of think this is something, right? Like, I am of the belief that if he plays 30 minutes a game, we're not going to see too much of a dip. Like, I genuinely believe he's that kind of prodigious level of scorer, right? I wouldn't have said as early on in the season that I thought he was better than Jalen Green, like, as quickly as I did, if I didn't believe that. I just think he's that good already, right? Like, I think at 19 years old, he flashes an ability to score the ball at such an efficient clip with such fearlessness attacking the basket. It gets me genuinely very, very excited for this Rockets core because he's, like, the third, like, most watched player, maybe, if that. Probably, like, fourth or fifth, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, okay. I was looking at his stats a little bit while you were talking. Yeah, I mean, he's playing only 18 minutes a game on the season, which has been higher than that recently for a number of reasons, not the least of which is that he played his way into more minutes.
Yeah, he's just good.
Yeah. I kind of feel like he played just few enough minutes, and he scored, like, on average of a season 12 a game, but again, that was higher more recently when he played more minutes. Like, his numbers are such that I think a lot of people just, they're not quite flashy enough for, like, people who don't care about the Rockets to pay attention to them.
I would dispute. I've had talks with people who aren't covering this team or aren't around this team. People know what Cam's doing. People know what.
Well, Cam's, they should.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would venture a guess that he has more trade value than Jalen Green. I would venture that guess.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh yes, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. He definitely does because Jalen Green has known downsides and Cam does not have known downsides yet.
Well,
like,
he has known downsides.
Putting aside, there's a bigger delta of possibility for Cam than there is for Jalen at this point. And honestly, the delta has more up than down than Jalen's does currently. So, yeah, I think it makes sense. He's younger. He looks a little more promising. Yeah, I think you could get more for him than Jalen if you were trying to trade either or both of these players.
By the way, I recognize that was a kind of a drive-by of Jalen. Like, I promise we're gonna get nice with Jalen in a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
So, these are kind of bummers, right? Like, these are really, really big bummers for the Rockets. And I feel like a lot of people are asking, like, okay, so what's kind of the goal for the rest of the season, right? Because it really seemed for a while that they were in the play-in mix. You know, listen, technically, could they still make it? Yeah. But do I think they're realistically going to pass up, like, the Lakers or Warriors? No. Like, I don't think anyone who's seriously evaluating this stuff is, you know, suggesting that. Now, I did hear a suggestion on the Brian Windhorst podcast that they should tank to keep their lottery odds high and possibly keep that protected pick or try to keep that protected pick from Oklahoma City. And honestly, I'm just not there. You're not gonna get a bottom four record, first of all. So you're not gonna get bottom four odds.
That's the thing.
Yeah. At best, you're gonna get like 20% odds to keep your pick. I don't even know what it is, actually. I haven't looked at the little tankathon.com odds. If they get to, an eighth or ninth is how high they could realistically get in terms of worst records.
Yeah, and that... Yes, and that's, a 37-ish% chance to keep that pick at that point.
It's... Yeah.
Which is, I think that this idea makes sense from, just a purely, numerical standpoint, right? Because if you're not going to make the play-in, you don't have anything, tangible to gain by winning more games rather than fewer. But I do think that there are drawbacks to that. First off, the teams is not quite that bad. They won their last few games. They won four games in a row and six out of the last seven. And yes, it's against mostly not very good teams. But they're not bad enough that they're losing to everybody, right? So the only way you're going to get to those bottom four odds is if you just fully tank out every single game from here on out, basically. You'd have to really just, cut bait now. Right now. And I think maybe if they'd lost, every game since Shingun got injured, they might have a little bit different thinking about it. If the team was instantly terrible after Shingun was gone, then maybe they go, okay, well, fine. But otherwise, you're going to have to try to lose. And I don't think trying to lose is going to jibe with the culture they're building right now. And that's the bigger concern to me, which is that Udoka doesn't want to tank. He didn't come here to tank. He came here to come out of a tank. He came here to build a culture and to build a team that's going to start winning. These players don't want to tank. They want to get out there and play as hard as they can and try to win every game they can win. And even if those wins don't stack up to anything that you can point to as being worthwhile, right? Even if the wins don't get you in the play-in, they don't get you, more anything. They get you farther away from having top four lottery odds. That's fine, man. At this, the team, it's mainly to me that, I wouldn't be surprised if they were going to try to tank out if the team was really bad. But they're not really bad. They're just kind of okay. They're just meh now. And they should just let the chips should fall where they may. Just let your team be as good as the team is and don't worry about it too much either way. Every win feels good for the team. Every loss gets you closer to better lottery odds. And just don't worry about it too much. And I don't think anyone should overthink this.
And possibly the biggest reason that they shouldn't do it is they have the Brooklyn pick. Right? Why would you, why would you tank when you can just let the other team fall on their end? Right?
Technically you could have two picks in the top four,
sure,
or something.
But I mean, you're not likely to get another top four pick, right? No. Like the odds are still going to be against you, right? You're not even going to get to a coin toss, right? The last time the Rockets tanked, and I use tank because I really – think they were just that bad, that season.
They were just bad, yeah.
Like the last time they did that with a protected pick, they genuinely had nothing they had nothing else.
Yeah.
In terms of draft capital, in terms of players on the roster, they had nothing else. They needed something. They needed oxygen, and that was kind of their only play out. So. It made sense then. It doesn't make sense now. It really doesn't make any sense. Why bring in Dylan Brooks, Fred VanVleet, and Ime Udoka? Right? Oh, really? If you weren't going to make the play-in tournament, you thought there was a, you thought you were 100% going to make the play-in tournament. Is that really the case? I don't think so. Right? In this Western Conference, I think the Rockets were clear-eyed about this. Right? They wanted to just take a step forward. Right?
Yeah, I mean, the plan then and now is clearly win as many games as we can and then to go from there.
Mm-hmm. And,
just see where we're at.
And, with other young teams, right, that own their draft pick, right, they don't always – they don't have that same incentive of owning another team's pick. They don't have the freedom of continuing to play as hard as they can, right? And also, they often have vets that are holding them back that are, in their 30s. Right, that are just really good,
yeah.
And they're not a part of your core. The Rockets aren't in that kind of a situation. They don't have an Eric Gordon. They don't have an Andre Iguodala. They don't have a player that's really, really good but kind of old and really not part of your future. They don't really have that, right? Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet are still going to be on the team for the next two or three years, right? So you might as well, just play everybody and have them play as hard as they can. Get them all better. Jabari's going to benefit from these reps. Amen's going to benefit from these reps. Jalen's going to benefit from these reps. It's just all positive. You just keep playing as hard as you possibly can. The downside's very minimal because I believe you've already hit your downside.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I just don't think it really... they're not bad enough for it to even be worth doing. Like, if they... they can't get down into the real bottom yet. I honestly would be saying something differently if the team was dreadful. Like, I want to make that clear. Like, when he got hurt, when Afrin Shingun got hurt, I was wondering if it would make sense in the tank afterwards. But then after seeing them play, and, you know, they're not nearly as bad as I thought they'd be, there's no... Yeah, the only reason they would want to tank is if they were so bad they were tanking naturally, I think, is the way I want to put it.
Okay.
Like, since... Yeah, like, if they were so bad they were going to lose every game, then sure. But they're not that bad. They're just mediocre. It's fine.
But
it's fine. They shouldn't engineer anything.
Yeah, I'd also say this. It's also possible that they lose the first couple of games after Shingun gets hurt, just to gain their identity, right? So that's why, like, I would have kind of waited a little bit before I said something. But I might have got there too, right? Like, I might have, if they were truly, like, really really bad for, like, you know, 4 or 5 games after the Shingun injury, I would have been like, okay, maybe
just shut it down.
Yeah, maybe, right? But, you know, I don't want to act like I just feel like, you know, the early part of the season meant something, right? And these last two games mean something, right? Like, the what we're seeing from Amen and Jabari, like, Jabari, you know, we're going to talk about Amen and Jalen Green in a second, but Jabari flat out looks like an underutilized offensive player right now, right? Like, he just looks like a guy that could be doing so much more, right? But either doesn't have to or isn't being asked to, or you know, like, one of those things where it's like his number is just not being called, and I kind of think he's earned his number being called a little bit more. I'd like to see him get more touches in the post to do more of those fadeaway jumpers. He's good enough at them to keep doing it, right? Like, he seems like a really underutilized player. I like seeing him in the fast break just pull up for mid-range J's. Really like a Paul George / Kevin Durant type of move, but he's doing it, and it's kind of crazy to watch. Yeah.
Here's my proposal for you. All the possessions where Dylan Brooks just kind of decides to create something on his own, give every single one of those to Jabari Smith Jr. and let him do literally anything instead.
But here's the thing. Dylan Brooks is kind of good at creating something out of nothing nowadays. Like, he's really good at bully-balling his way into the basket and getting, like, a layup, a hook shot, like, some kind of garbage basket, right? Like, that's part of his game. But I'm with you. Like, for me, I don't want to... I'm not going to say what I'm thinking. I'm not going to say what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Amen. So, like, it was obvious when Shingun went down that the clear move there was to put Amen in the starting lineup. Not only was not only was he like the clear best player on the bench, but like now you can afford the spacing, right? Like Shingun's not in the paint anymore. You can play four out, right, around Amen.
Yeah,
right. You don't have to keep constantly keeping the dunker spot, even though the Rockets are doing that. But like, you don't have to do it, you know, religiously anymore, right?
Yeah,
and I really think we're starting to see some of the benefits offensively. Like, I really thought, like, when Amen came back, like, I kind of thought the offense got bogged down when Shingun and Amen share the floor. When Amen and Shingun share the floor because of the spacing thing.
Yeah.
And now that that's just not an issue, I feel like they're benefiting a lot from just having three-point shooting everywhere at all times and no clogged paints and just easy dunks, easy drives. Like, does it not feel like that for you when you watch them?
Yeah, that's a good point. It does feel, less like sticky and stoppy. Mm-hmm. I guess is the way I would put it.
Yeah, and it's not like a Shingun thing. It's more of like a Shingun plus a Men thing, right? It's like those two, like, yes, they managed to make it work right together because they're so smart. And they're so good that obviously you're going to make it work when you're smart and good like that. But on paper, they're just not really the cleanest fit offensively together. So it made this awkward spacing dynamic. But when it's not there, it's kind of fun to watch them play as free as they have been. Amend's been awesome. I mean, he's just dunking everything.
He really does. Yeah. He goes for it, man. Yeah. And not only that, he loves to get right in the middle of everything, which means he's there to clean up and capitalize upon just chaotic situations. The number of times I've seen him come up with the ball after like a confusing possession and just put it right back in, it's fantastic. I love to see that kind of hustle, especially from a rookie. Like, rookies being that, I don't know, ballsy, I guess, is it's cool. Cam and Amen are such a fun pair of rookies. They really don't look like rookies at all.
They're
I love them.
High level finishers, man. Like,
yeah.
Like what 19 and 20-year-old do you know finish at the basket at this club? Like Amen is shooting like 70% from the floor and 15% from the 3-point line. Like,
he's so big. Yeah. He's so, like, how are you gonna stop him? He weighs as much as the truck.
You can't. I mean, like, and he has this hang time, right? Like he'll get the rebound, stay in the air, put it back up, and like it's like it's not like that's a normal basketball play, right? I'm not gonna pretend like that's impressive, but he's doing it over 7-footers. Right, like that's what's impressive. He's not doing it over his man. His man is a 7-footer that's guarding him. Right, like
he's not afraid of anybody, which is cool.
Yeah, I mean, he's smart too. Like when he chooses to cut, it's smart. How he chooses to be involved offensively is smart. Right, like the talk of the season for the first half was really all his brother. But really, I mean, you're starting to see why Amen was the higher-rated prospect, like, all this time, right? Like, he is every bit as athletic, every bit as chaotic off the ball. It's just, in Overtime Elite, he never had to be off the ball. He was just always the best guy with the ball in his hand. And right now, he's for the first time in a while, he's having to play off the ball. But because of his supreme-level smarts, he's making it work without being a shooter. Like, you know how hard that is to be? That's like Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, in this league?
Yeah. That's like Dwayne Wade, Miami Heat, right? Like, Dwayne Wade on the Heat, like, not a good three-point shooter. Everybody knows this, right? But he managed to be a competent floor spacer by constantly cutting and constantly finding the open man off the secondary cuts, right? So I don't know. I just find him to be such an impressive young man, right? All the way around. Like, and everyone, I'm not saying anything new. I'm just kind of regurgitating a lot, but it is really, really fun. I mean, like, he looks like an elite draft pick.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of, I think, a through line for this team is that they're very fun as long as they're not all hurt. It's a fun team. I wish we just had a little bit more of the players we want to see. A little bit more Bari, a little bit more Tari, a little bit more Alpi, and a little bit more Cam.
Yeah, all the fun players got taken out early. I mean, we still got some fun players left, don't get me wrong. But, I would have liked to see more Cam, especially mixed in with the men. So let's talk about Jalen. So I want to clarify my thought. So he had another 37 point outburst tonight.
Wonderful,
ridiculous moment.
So efficient.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was like 5 for 8 from 3-point range. He dropped Jared Butler on this crossover.
That was so vicious.
Yeah, and he stared at him like very James Harden like from Wes Matthews. Mm-hmm. I want to clarify my thoughts on him because I said some stuff last week. And it's not so much that I'm, like, significantly colder on Jalen Green as a prospect than I was before. It's more so that I'm significantly higher on some of his peers than on the roster than I am with him. Like, Amen, Jabari, Shingun, and Cam, you know, before those two got hurt, I think all four of those guys have more upside than Jalen, given what they've shown at younger ages. Jalen's just so up and down. Right, like it's not that I'm not high on Jalen. I've said all along. I've been the let's just wait. Like Jalen, like I still think Jalen can do great things. Let's just wait. It's his third year. Third year leaps are kind of bullshit for 19-year-old prospects. Like, let's just wait. And to be honest, like the two big things that are gonna kind of make or break his career right now are the jump shot and the ball handling craft in the pick and roll. He has the side-to-side wiggle. He has the full-court speed. He has the first step in the half-court. He has the bounce. And he's building the body. It's really as simple as, I don't trust the handle right now. I don't trust the jump shot. And the passing and defense have to continue to get better. So until he shows major growth in those areas, and I think he's shown some growth in those areas, particularly the defense and the passing, I'm just always going to favor these other prospects more than him. That's not saying I don't like him as a prospect. Because you and I have talked about this before on this show. How many times have we said, you can only keep like three of these guys at most, right? And right now, I just instinctually have myself saying, yeah, Jalen's just not one of the three. For me, as great as some of these outbursts have been, and tonight was a truly nice outburst, I just don't think he's one of the three. Now, the Rockets don't have to make that call right now, right? But this is why, ultimately, I'm kind of in the let's wait until next season mode with him.
I just
want to clarify, like, it's not that I don't see that upside of, like, all-star, right? Multi-time all-star. It's that I'm starting to see more of that downside of, like, oh, what if he's not multi-time all-star? And I'm also starting to see, like, these other prospects, and I'm like, okay, like, even if Jalen's great, like, the best version of him versus the best version of these other guys, you know, like, you have to do that if you're the front office. And I feel like as a fan who wants to evaluate this stuff objectively, you find yourself doing that.
Well, he's been in the league for longer than the other guys who aren't Şengün, which means that you know, that possibility space is closing down just because that's just how time works, you know, not slight him at all. It is very encouraging to see him shooting well for an extended period. I hope that means that his shot is improving in general.
38% from three for his last four games, which is pretty good.
And even on his last 11 games, you know, it's an improvement. He's looked good for a bit. Even that, though, the problem with three-point shooting is that it's just streaky in general, so you really have to take a very, very long view of three-point shooting. You have to look at mechanics, and honestly, his mechanics look... I think there's improvement, right? I'm cautiously optimistic if there's been an improvement in his shooting, which goes a long way. But you do have to take a very long and patient view on these things because of how noisy shooting is, especially from three-point range. Because sometimes guys do just have a good 2 months. You know, they'll just hit everything for 2 months, and then the rest of their career is not that. So, I don't know. I'm, like, a little more optimistic about him now than I was previously because he has stepped it up a little more consistently. I kind of wonder if... He was also aware that there are other players on the league who are coming for his minutes and coming for his situation. He needed to step it up. Also, I think perhaps some part of this that he did not have a choice. He needed to look better and do better. But to his credit, he has looked better in the last games. He has not had those clunker games where you just wonder what is he doing out there. So I don't know. I agree with you that, like, this summer is not the time to do the extension, right? Like, you could do an extension this summer, but that's not a good idea. I think you gotta just wait through next season. You gotta keep giving him some time. Hope that the improvement continues to show. Hope that this is actually a trending in the right direction. And then you circle back around in it, right? Unless things go really, really badly and you need to trade him, then you just see what the situation is during the next offseason. So, I think most likely that's what they're gonna do.
Yeah, and, like, the thing with him is he's not that same freight train going to the basket like Cam or Men are, right? And that's why the three-point shooting is even more so important for him, right? He is not a high-level finisher right now, right? That's something that he's got to work on, but until he gets to that point, the jump shot is just so much of everything for him, right? And... I mean, right now, like, listen, he's shooting like 53% true shooting for the season. If he closes out strong, he may tie with his best true shooting season of his career, which is like 54.7%. It's not, you know, it's not great, but again, we have to wait till year four because I don't believe in third year leaps, right, for 19-year-olds. Like, not everybody has those, right? So I'm cautiously waiting until year four. But the reason I may sound lower on him, the reason you heard me on the podcast describe myself as unmoved while watching some of these outbursts is because I'm watching these other prospects and I'm like, oh my God, like these guys are, I mean, the Rockies did such a good job everywhere else.
Right? Well, and you're like projecting in 2 years, what are these rookies going to look like? Yeah. Will it be better or worse than this?
Yeah.
And like the average of what you'd expect from him right now does Cam and Amen both project out to be better than Jalen is this year in 2 years. Is that what's going to happen? There's no way to know, right? That's a long way away, but we're just looking at like where's the trend lines going right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm hoping that this upswing in Jalen's trend lines keeps going. It's been really nice to see him hit those threes and be that threat they need from the outside. So, hey, great. I think this is fantastic. It's kind of, in many ways, he's kind of getting lucky that there is more need for him than ever on the team.
I was just about to say this. Like, there is nobody breathing down his neck anymore. Right? Like, he got really lucky with the Tari Eason thing. I genuinely think Tari was on the verge of taking a spot. Cam, I'm not sure if the Rockets would have had that kind of moxie. Right? Like, that would have been a little bit, you know. But I think Cam was starting to ramp up his minutes. Right? And he was starting to close games over him. Right, so it was definitely like implied. Okay, yeah, we think that Cam is better, but we just can't do with this right now. Like, but the Rockets never got there. So I mean, you know, it's tough to know with that. But yeah, I mean, he doesn't have those guys breathing down his neck anymore. And you're right. I kind of think that Amen and Cam appear to be better prospects. I mean, so do Şengün and Jabari, right? Because again, Jabari's having such a great year, too, and it's just been so quiet, and I've talked about how I think he's been underutilized. Part of the reason I think he's been underutilized is the Rockets are putting such an emphasis on trying to get Jalen Green going. I don't think he should be taking as many shots as he's taking, or at least in the games that he's shooting poorly, right? In a game like tonight, yes, keep feeding him the ball. But in a game where he starts the game slow, I'd like to see them shift their offense a little bit more to Jabari, a little bit more to Amen. You know, a little bit. Obviously, Fred's always going to have the ball as much as he wants, but like, you know, just even out the distribution there. And I think you're going to see better player development. But you know, we'll see. Like, I'm not down on Jalen. I'm just, you know, perhaps down on Jalen in regards to the context of this team.
Well, I kind of feel like the floaties are going to come off for him next season, and he's showing signs that he's going to be able to swim right now. Right? Currently, there's good signs there, but yeah, I think there'll be a lot more like sink or swim next year.
In regards to his fourth year spot, right?
Yeah. Yes, and especially because I think there's very good reason to believe the Rockets should get better. Like, they need to expect to get better next year. If they're not, they should be what amount? Like, how to put the amount? They should be somewhat better. They need to be somewhat better next year, right?
They should be a play-in team.
Yes,
they need to be.
They need to be a play-in team. Like, if they don't make at like the eighth seed, they should feel bad about it, right? And once the team is better, once they actually are vying and jockeying for playoff spots, once they're trying to get that 46th, 47th win or whatever, you know, once they're in the 40s and they're projecting out to be like an actual playoff team, a team who has a shot at making like the fifth seed, even if they're not realistically going to get that, who knows? We're not there yet, but they project out to being a team where wins are going to matter next year in a way they do not matter right now. Because as much fun as we've had this season, as much as they looked really good early in the season, wins were not mission critical. Again, going back to what we were talking about before, the plan from the Rockets, internally and externally, needs to be we win as many games as we can realistically win, and we reevaluate ourselves. So, but next year, wins matter, man, so everyone is going to have a harder time maintaining their position.
Can I? So I just had a picture in my head of Tillman Fertitta at a press conference with the poster behind him that says "Mission Accomplished." for stage two. Phase two or whatever. I mean, that'd be that'd be really, I'd really like to see that. Whatever. Yeah.
Whenever they beat their season over, if they get to their win number 32, then you can stand in front of the mission accomplished banner. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Let me be very clear. It's awesome that he's having these games, even if he's not going to be on the team long term, or even if he's not one of those three or four guys, because it boosts his trade value. If he's not one of those guys, right? You want him to be looking his best. So when you do trade him, you're getting something of significance, or you're trading for something of significance, right? So I think that's kind of where I'm at with Jalen. Like, I remain kind of unmoved, even if he has like outbursts like this for the rest of the season. If he has a game like this for the rest of the season, that's different, right? But if he has like this like every three games, right, and he has like, you know, continuous 20-point games where he's shooting at, you know, relatively good efficiency, cool. That's kind of where I'm like, cool, right? Like, because I want to see next season. I want to see real growth. I want to see a year-over-year growth for Jalen. And if he has that kind of close to the season, it sounds like he's going to just tie his career best, right, in efficiency. So that's where I'm at. I hate to be anticlimactic about it, but that's just kind of where I'm at with Jalen.
Well, again, I hope he keeps proving us wrong. If he does do this every game of the season, wonderful. That'd be the best possible outcome. I just want him to not have clunkers right now. I think just like eliminating clunkers out of his game repertoire would go a long way toward my confidence level. And seeing how he does against like stronger defensive teams, because look, it's hard to score 37 on anybody. But the Washington Wizards are a certain type of team, right? So I want to see what it is against other teams. You have to see how players play against like the wide variety of the league. I think overall strength of opponent is an underrated stat in the NBA. I want to see him keep doing this, but against tougher opponents.
You don't think Jordan Poole is like the lockdown defender that could really bring stuff out of Jalen Green? You know, you don't think so?
He brings something out of somebody. I'm not going to say anything about Jordan Poole. He doesn't deserve to catch any strays from me right now.
No, absolutely not.
But I do think he's not going to be an all NBA defensive player. He's not going to be all defense team, no.
I don't think anyone on this team is going to be an all NBA defensive player. But yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, here's the thing. He does have to do this against better, but we've seen him do it though, right? Like, we've seen him do it against like the Lakers when they were a good defense, right? Like, it's not that Jalen has that high end upside, like, to do it on those. It's just kind of random what it is, right? It's just kind of like, is a shot falling tonight? Okay. All right. So you might have a chance to have that kind of a night, right? That's basically like where I'm at. Like, the jump shot's so streaky, right? So,
That's why I want to see him take the bottom end of that out, right? If he can avoid the bad shooting nights and just has like good to great shooting nights, wonderful, wonderful. You know, just if cut out that floor and you're much, if he raises the floor, he's just a much better player overall. So,
yeah,
it's a good direction. You know, if you think Jalen Green is going to pan out as being an exceptional player, this is what you want to see him do. So I say, great.
Sorry. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
No, I'm just tired. I'm just
it's late. We record late. Yeah. If we're out there, we record late.
Yeah, no. I'm genuinely just tired. Like, it's not, it has nothing to do with Jalen Green. If we were talking about Shingun, if we were talking about Cam, I'd still be yawning. Genuinely had a really fun time watching that game. Had a fun time recording this episode. Forrest, where can the people follow you on Twitter again?
At Dunots, DUNOTS.
You can follow me on Twitter at SolMollyNBA. The Substack at RedNationHoops.com. The YouTube channel, Red Nation Hoops. Subscribe, give us a thumbs up on the video. And yeah, guys, we'll talk to you next week.